listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Friday, about that time, which means you are officially on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. And welcome to the show today. This is Free for All Friday, where I'm going to be answering a lot of your questions. Folks, if you've written me online, I've contacted you and let you know that I'm going to be using your questions and change your name if you wish. I use first names anyway, so nobody knows. But anyway, if you would like to call, well, the phone lines are open too. I'm going to focus on answering many of the emails and the questions that folks wrote me today. Did I just say that? But anyway, the number here, live, 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. And that's here in the greater Los Angeles area, the hub of entertainment. Now, today I'm going to be answering a lot of questions that have to do with all sorts of subjects. I've been really getting a lot of cool questions, and I thank you so much. By the way, if you would like to ask me a question about anything, usually to do with relationships, issues you may be having, fears, phobias, which we're going to talk about today, you can do so. Just click on the homepage here, as you can see, on latalkradio.com. Where it says Dr. Michelle, Channel 1, Dr. Michelle. And, of course, you have my links right there to my email address where you can write me, docmichelle@aol.com. Just click on that link if you have any questions, comments, problems. And or you can check me out on my website as well, which is linked up to my webpage here at latalkradio.com. And that's drmichelletherapy.com, Dr. Michelle Therapy, Dr. Michelle with two L's therapy.com. Have a little bit of bronchitis because I've been talking too much. Gee, there's something new and different. But my husband says my voice is sexy. So I think I'm going to keep it like this. He likes it. He says, just talk to me. Let's turn the lights out and talk to me. What? What do you mean turn the lights out? Anyway, here we go. We're going to start off today by talking about a relationship problem. With a husband and wife. Also, we're going to touch on telling your partner they should groom. Oh boy, that's a touchy one. Also, I have a question from a listener about a phobia and fear. I think it's a gentleman who says he's trying to deal with. He's really had a hard time. He doesn't know what to do. I can't, by the way, give you therapy, and we do not have a therapeutic relationship here on the couch with Dr. Michelle, but what I can do is give you some advice, suggestions, and hopefully some entertainment. Hopefully. All right, let's start off with this gentleman. It says, Dear Doc, my wife and I were married last year. I love her dearly and would do anything to make her happy, but I don't feel that this is reciprocated. Okay, my wife rarely initiates physical intimacy, be it sex or even a quick kiss. If there is any physical interaction, I initiate it. I hint rather often that I desire more physical touch. When I try to talk to her about this, she gets annoyed. Ooh. I'm a good husband and stepfather to her son. I do all of the housework. All of the housework, damn. I do cooking and laundry. Hey, listen, you're a good one. I also work a full-time job and take my stepson to his sports practices. My wife also works full-time at a job that leaves her exhausted. I feel like our marriage is falling apart. The last thing I want to do is annoy my wife further, so now I avoid talking about this. But I feel I'm ignoring my own needs and should not be doing that. What more can I do? Thanks, Steve. Steve, you need to talk. I don't care if it annoys her. I know about the avoidance thing, you know, when you start trying to open up to your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend about things that you would like, which is what you need to do in all relationships. And it not accusing someone, you're this, you're that, just saying, I would be so happy if you would, because I feel like, those I statements, I feel kind of lonely because I miss your touch, I miss your kiss, I miss making love to you. I know you're tired, but let's plan a date night. Get a babysitter. And you sound like a great guy, and you are certainly doing your fair share around the house. But it's just not helping when it comes to intimacy with your wife. And you're kind of hinting at your needs. You're hinting. A lot of guys do hint, and women, because they don't want to, they get tired of the hassle. And this tentative approach, though, it's kind of a dance, it's kind of common, doesn't resolve anything. So you need to stop hinting and really confront the issue. And when I say confront, again, I'm not talking about your cold fish. You know, why are you so frigid? What? No. She's just not taking the hint. So you need to talk about the I statements. Okay. Also, being tired is real. But you must be tired too, Steve, aren't you? Doing the housework a lot and cooking. You do laundry and you work full-time too? I don't know if she has a physical issue. Maybe she needs to go to a medical doctor and get a complete physical exam to see maybe if there's something going on with her. It's, you know, we all have tired bodies. You know, after working full-time jobs, we're all tired. We don't feel like coming home and taking care of the house and managing children and all that. But we just have to sometimes in this economy to get through. So what you need to do is you don't want to push sex on her. You don't want to force yourself on her. But I think you need to slowly get back into lovingly telling her how you miss her and you love her. Because, this kind of thing, if she keeps pushing you away and doesn't even want you to kiss her or touch her, it's like a roommate, you see? And you're not happy with it. Some people, I have had older couples years ago who are really happy about just living together. And they don't really touch and they don't have intimate moments. They don't have sex. But the fact that their companionship is good and they don't argue, they get along, they're okay with it. But see, you're not okay with it. So that's an imbalance. So you have to work on it. You have to let your wife know that sexual intimacy is going to be a really vital part of marriage for you. And you don't want to commit your life to no intimacy. It's important. I hate to tell you this, but if you can't work it out, this is not a good sign. Things are not going good for this marriage. You see? And let me tell you also, besides the I feelings, I love you. I want to be with you. That's what you say. Not, I think that you're a cold fish, like I said. I love you and I miss you and I would love to have sex at least twice a week. Please, let's make some time. Let's make a date. Let's go out for a romantic dinner. Let's have a glass of wine. Let's hire a babysitter. You don't say, I'd like to have sex more often than we do. You see, if you are clear, you state what you like, you tell her you love her, you miss her, you know, tell her that you don't want her to be miserable in this relationship, but you feel miserable and rejected. You cannot endlessly ignore your needs. You are entitled to have these needs. Again, unless there's a physical problem that both of you may have and you can find out about, and you can say, oh, geez, you know, this is not happening. So I don't, you're not telling me if your sex life was once really good or if your wife's loss of interest was really sudden. So maybe, like I said, she has a medical problem, and you got to rule that out. You've got to work this out for yourselves. Please, I suggest you go to couple therapy with someone who has a sex therapy background. I'm not talking about sex surrogates, someone who, you know, that old-fashioned thing of, here, let me stimulate you while your wife watches. No, a good sex therapist will tell you how to start slowly approaching each other and getting together and having sex. At least touch, kiss, hug, intimacy before you can lead into full-blown sex. You take things slowly. They'll help you work through it. And if your wife's not interested or never going to be interested, then you need to think about seriously seeing a therapist yourself to figure how you're going to work through this, whether you're going to stay in the relationship. You know, that's a pretty big deal breaker. No intimacy, not touching or kissing, and she gets upset when you even attempt. That's a deal breaker right there. So you got to find out what you're doing that pisses her off or why she's got problems or even, like I said, physical problems. All right, Steve? And, you know, it could be something as innocent as that. It really could be. So hang in there, baby. All right? All right. This is Dr. Michelle. You're on LA Talk Radio. And, yeah, I'll be taking calls today if you'd like to call 323-203-0815. I do talk about relationship issues or any kind of self-esteem, anxiety, stress you're going through. That's fine. I'll be happy to help you and answer any questions you may have. Today is Free For All Friday. I'm answering a lot of listeners' questions with my, I've been talking too much. So I have a little, I'm kind of hoarse. I'm a little hoarse. That's what my relatives used to call me. she's a little horse. Yeah, nice. Anyway, so you can email me if you'd like through the website, front page here on LA Talk Radio, just channel 1, Dr. Michelle. Click on that, and then you can link right up to my email address if you'd like to ask me a question. It's docmichelle@aol.com. Of course, you can also link onto that from my website, which is drmichelletherapy.com. All right. Let's move on. All right, I've got an interesting email from a gentleman who has a fear. Dear Doc, I'm not sure whether I have a phobia or whatever. I've always felt uncomfortable about heights and small enclosed places, but have managed to deal with it up until this time. I'm 35 years old. I recently got a new job and go to an office now, which is on the 50th floor. of one of the downtown office buildings in Los Angeles. That's where LA Talk Radio used to be, right downtown Los Angeles. Man, we were on like the 38th floor, and that used to kind of freak me up going in that speed elevator. Yeah, those buildings downtown, the highest tower's like 100 and some floors. Some scary stuff sometimes to a lot of people. Okay, so you're going up 50th floor every day. Every morning I start thinking about the sick feelings I get. Uh-oh. Before entering the elevator, and I start breathing heavily and get dizzy. I've been getting worse every day and have been thinking that maybe this fear is taking over. How can I tell that I have a full-blown fear of something? How can I deal with this issue? I'm thinking about not going to work a couple of days a week and trying to just work off my computer at home. They say I can do this. Well, okay. You know what? Josh, most people are not aware that they're having a phobia, but it's really important to know whether you're having it and what it is. And, you know, I mean, it's an anxiety disorder. It's a type of fear, but it's really unusual from the regular fears that, you know, we face on a daily basis or that we normally have. These are intense fears. And the fact that you're talking to me, you know, about possibly working from your home because you're, you know, feeling fearful and your heart palpitations are getting to you and you're feeling dizzy before, you know, you go up in the elevator on the weekdays to work. That's a specific phobia, I think. Sometimes it starts during childhood or adolescence. Now, you said, what, you're 35 here. And so if you think back, Josh, maybe you might have had a fear of heights for years, long, long time ago when you were a kid, something, you know, just happens sometimes. I don't know if you can go back to the first time you remember. What's the first time you could remember that you were in a very high place and it made you feel uncomfortable or scared you? How old were you? Can you go back there for me? Okay, go back to how that felt. Okay. Now, here's some of the criteria. Here's some of the criteria for a phobia or a fear. It's intense, and it can start with the imagination of the object or situation. So you're getting scared just thinking about going up the elevator. That's one of the criteria. The anxiety starts as the person sees the feared object or situation. You're getting ready to go into the building. You said you're getting kind of freaked out about it. Okay? The anxiety could also take the shape of an attack, which means all the symptoms associated with it. Heart palpitations, dizziness, of course, heavy breathing, which it sounds like you're kind of getting into. The person usually tries to avoid the situation that is feared, which sounds like you're trying to do now. And the avoidance of certain objects or situations interfere with daily activities. The daily activity is for you to get into that elevator, go up to your office. Well, you said you have two fears in closed places. Now, those elevators, I do know, in the downtown Los Angeles area, they're huge, but they are still enclosed, and you're, you know, hurling up a tube up to the sky. Didn't mean to scare you there, Josh, but they're safe. You know, they have a lot of security folks, and they can manage that, but nonetheless, it's scary, and you're going up to the 50th floor. Okay, so what? There's different types of phobias, and you have what I think is called natural environment type. So you feel anxiety when facing or thinking about a situation, situational type. Airplanes, enclosed places, elevators, right? Situational. All right. So you have the panicky symptoms, you have all that stuff. So here's the deal. What is available for you? First of all, I suggest you get into therapy. Look for a therapist in your area, I don't know where you're from, Josh, who does what's called exposure therapy. Okay? It's kind of disturbing a little bit. Now, I don't mean to scare you, but what it does is it slowly, or flooding, as it's called in exposure therapy, quickly, continues to expose you to that feared situation to where you realize that you're not going to die. Nothing bad's going to happen. You're going to get through it, and you learn how to breathe. You learn how to think differently while you're going through. Okay? Patients are also, you know, usually encouraged to talk about your feelings during exposure therapy. Learn the ways to face the fears and stressful emotions. All right? Hypnosis is great. I really believe in hypnosis. Someone who's good and can do fears and phobias for you. It is effective. They even use virtual reality techniques. Sometimes it's kind of hard, but some therapy offices, if you investigate, they do virtual therapy where you can actually go into that that elevator. You can go and feel the feelings. Okay? And there's also another treatment. It's called, well, it's an oldie, but a goodie. It's called systematic desensitization. It's compared to desensitization, exposure therapy. But exposure produces anxiety on purpose. You're there, you're exposed to it, and you have to learn how to breathe and know that you'll get through it. Desensitization, and this is very effective as well. It's classic. It combines relaxation with gradual introduction to the anxiety-provoking thing. So in the office of the psychologist or psychotherapist who performs it, they're taking you through steps of scariness. Number one would be, you know, let's say 1 to 10. Number one would be driving to your office. All right, you start to feel a little anxious. Number two would be parking. You're a little more anxious. Number three would be walking towards the building. You're really getting anxious. Number four, see, so they walk you through the steps of full-blown scary stuff. And then when you say stop at a certain point because you're really having the symptoms, you start breathing. So it's slow exposure with relaxation. Okay? So you do it one step at a time. I don't want this to ruin your life. I don't want you to just completely turn into a fearful guy who stays home, because this is what it sounds like you're doing, Josh. You know, don't jump in the deep end first. Take a small step with this. And you stay in the situation. Stay in the situation. Keep trying to go to work. Try not to leave if you suddenly feel anxious. Do some slow breathing. Sit down outside your office. If there's benches, it sounds like you're in one of those huge buildings downtown. There's lots of tables, lots of benches. Start doing slow breathing in through your nose, slowly, and down out through your mouth. Do it about 6 times. Start breathing slowly in and out. And then slowly try to walk to the elevator. Slowly breathe. Get through it. Relax your body. Try and do it without leaving. Try to get out of your house. If you're feeling freaky one day, try to get out of your house to just do it. Okay? Ups and downs will happen. You'll have good days and bad days. But nonetheless, you got to be aware of it. Got to try and know that these things work. Get in touch with a therapist near you, psychologist, who practices desensitization, exposure therapy for phobias, or hypnosis. They all work. They're all really good. It just sort of depends on what feels right to you. And I just explained some of the treatments to you. Hypnosis, of course, you're relaxed and you're being hypnotized, and you know, you're being given suggestions that you will relax when you're presented with the situations that are freaking you out. Okay? Hopefully that helped, Josh. All right. You can do this. You can get through this. Do not let the scary stuff cripple you. All right, you're on LA Talk Radio, the best talk radio show on the internet, with your friend, Dr. Michelle, that's me. And you're on the couch officially, as you always are at this time. And what I'm doing today is Free for All Friday, answering a lot of emails. A lot of folks contact me. Yeah, you can go on the webpage here at the radio station, latalkradio.com. If you're listening now, you're there. You click on Channel 1. And right there, you can find me, Dr. Michelle. And you know, click on my email address if you'd like to write me. Of course, my website is also hooked up. You can link onto that and find out what I'm more about. And I do have laryngitis. I've been talking really a lot this week. But it's for a good cause. I did a Haiti Relief Fund telethon on the radio. And because people know that I do talk a lot, they leave me alone in the studio to keep yakking. Oh, Dr. Michelle can talk. We'll just leave her. We'll take a coffee break. Okay, you take over for the next hour. Well, that seemed like it went on for about 6 hours. Nonetheless. And I'm saying, folks, do everything you can to continue helping out. Just because last weekend was the big push of George Clooney's celebrity 2-hour program on all the networks, all the stations, you know, continue to log on to that Haiti Relief website. Continue to log on. Continue to use the power of the text on the phone, where they take $10 off your phone bill. All right? Continue to do that. It helps everybody. All right, here's an email that I've been waiting to read, and my producer wrote a little smiley face near this, and I don't think it's funny. I'm trying not to be funny here. We're not laughing at. We're just kind of chuckling with, oh, my goodness, this must be really uncomfortable for you. So here we go. Dear Doc, met a terrific woman from the Mediterranean about a year ago who may be the one. Ooh, I like this. I get all these emails from guys. Guys are writing me. You know, it's a lot easier to go via email to a therapist sometimes for guys than sit in an office. It just is. All right. I love this woman. She's beautiful. She has a great body. And she likes to show it off. Uh-oh. But she's also quite hairy. Ooh. Because of her culture, she didn't shave much back home. And having now been steeped in years of women's studies in the U.S., she has become a little militant about not conforming to the ideal of hairless womanhood. She's looking forward to spending time at my parents' beach house this spring and summer, and she has a tiny bikini that she looks wonderful in. The problem is that lots of hair is guaranteed to be on display. Oh, God. My mom and dad are going to faint. I told her she may want to trim up a bit. But she refuses under her arms, her legs, and her private parts. I would like to introduce her to my parents and love to bring her because I think she is the one. But I don't want to hide her from my mom and dad because she definitely will embarrass me. What do I do? Thanks. Harryfied. I love this. Harry, H-A-R-R-Y, Fied. Harryfied. Great name. Thank you for writing me, Harry. I don't think that's your name, but I loved it. All right, here's the dealio. I understand about the Mediterranean thing. It's her choice. It's totally her choice to look the way she wants. And you like it, apparently, because you're with her and have been with her for a year. So you dig that thing. You dig that. But you're a little embarrassed now because spring is coming and summer's coming, so you're going to have to be out there, exposed with her in public places. I don't know what she did in the past. It says you've been with her for a year, so you must have been with her last summer when it was warming up. Guess you're from Southern California. I'm not sure. Or wherever you are. That's a warm climate in the summer. But if she feels the way you do, she would want to make a good impression on your parents. I'm thinking, if you are both agreeing on, wow, you're the one and he's the one, and you got to try to say, look, I love you. I'm happy with who you are. You're beautiful. But I want to make a really good impression on my parents. Can we compromise? All right? Can we compromise? So there's some way that you might want to appeal to be kind to her and make her feel better. So you might tell her that if she refuses to shave up a little bit everywhere, as you've described, you want your parents to appreciate her beautiful body, her beautiful mind, her wonderful personality, and you don't want them to feel embarrassed, and you don't want you to feel embarrassed. And you don't want them to not appreciate her for the wonderful person she is because they're focusing on all the hair. Because that's what we do in the U.S. Yeah, we're a bit phobic here in the United States about hair. I mean, you shave everything. You wax everything. Everything! Where there might be the slightest trace of hair. I get that. I really get that. But I think you should lovingly just appeal to her. And say, you're beautiful. I understand where you're coming from. I love you for who you are. But since we're going to be with my folks, and you're the one, I want to make a life with you. I think a first impression is really wonderful, and I want them to focus on your beautiful personality. Not on your hair. If she fights about this, you know what? Harry, Fide, you need to think a little bit about this relationship. If she's not willing because her, strong convictions... Well, her feminist strong convictions to shave anywhere on her body because of it's her culture. She refuses to do this for you. Maybe you got to think about that. She can always grow her hair back. All right? It's just an idea, and I appreciate you writing. It's not... I'm not laughing. I'm not making fun of this. This is a serious question. What would you do, folks? I'd love to hear from you. If you have a solution for Harryfied, you let me know. 323-203-0815. But I'll tell you what. Just appeal to her lovingly. If she's going to be with you, she's going to want to have a good relationship with your parents. Period. End of report. She's going to want to make the family like her as well. That's what it's all about. If she doesn't care, then she doesn't care about you. That's it. All right. LATalkRadio.com. You're with Dr. Michelle. We're on the couch, as we always are at this time. And you can email me, as all my listeners did today. on Free for All Friday. You can go on to the link here on the webpage on latalkradio.com. Just click on Channel 1, find me. And, my email address, docmichelle@AOL.com. You can also check out my website. Pardon my laryngitis. I've been talking a lot lately. All right, we're moving on. We have now, finally, an email from a lady. All right, Catherine says, Dear Dr. Michelle, what counts as cheating? That's a tough one. My husband has begun a so-called friendship with a woman he works with. He tells me that he takes her to lunch sometimes. She just happens to be gorgeous and intelligent. I'm worried because when he comes home from work, she texts him and he answers her in front of me. He says she's asking him questions about work, but I think that's strange that she's texting him at night. I've told him that this makes me feel uncomfortable, and I'm wondering if this would be considered cheating. Well, first of all, I think it's a bit odd that, you know, if there's lengthy texting going on after work. Now, if she is a subordinate and is doing things for your husband in a secretarial situation, then maybe there are things that need to be done. I would clarify this with your husband. Say, now, and not accusatory. What are you doing? Are you helping her with things that she needs to do for you the next day? Is she still at work clarifying things? This is making me a little uncomfortable. And you said here in your email that this, you know, you've told him that this makes you feel uncomfortable. I'm wondering how he responds. You didn't tell me how he responds. If you are not going to accuse him or start yelling or be nasty, but if you're kindly and share with him that it makes you feel a little odd that he's continually texting this woman after work and that you take her to lunch, you know, just express your feelings. See how he responds to you. If he, you know, says, Dear, I understand that this could make you feel uncomfortable, but I really am doing some work. Ask questions about, what are you working on now? Take some interest in what he's doing. Cheating is really difficult to define because everybody differs in the type of contact they feel that is appropriate for a partner to have someone, you know, else with. This could be perfectly innocent. You know, if he were coming home really late from work, then yeah. You know, years ago I had a client whose husband openly went out drinking with the guys after work and say he'd be home about 8. He'd show up at midnight or 2 a.m. drunk. Yeah, that was a serious problem. And I said, you got to find out this guy's cheating. Come on now. But it depends. You got to check it out and find out. I mean, does he flirt with others? Does he? What kind of talk is he engaging with? Is it sexual talk? Is it flirty talk? Does he deny? You've got to find out all these things. Is there any kind of purchasing going on of intimate gifts? I know this sounds really paranoid and weird. Is he chatting online with her a lot? Do you feel that there's a distancing from you? You know? If there's a distancing that you're feeling as well from him, then there may be, you know, your instincts as a woman may be picking up on this. And that's not good either. So you have to just sort of feel it out and be honest and loving and non-accusatory, like I said. I feel a little uncomfortable when you're texting this woman after work. Is this, please, can we share? I mean, there's something going on within you about your not trusting him that's making you doubt that there's, you know, that this is just business. You got to explore what's going on within you. Are you feeling insecure lately about yourself? Okay, is there something going on in your life that's feeling weird? Okay, so check those things out. Ask questions. Don't be accusatory. Be open. And if he tells you honestly that, please, believe me, I'll show you the text. You know, We're talking about business. We're working through things. Depends on what kind of business he's in and what he's doing. All right, let me give you some of the lowdown here on husbands, on cheating husbands. This is just for you. Here's some of the most common findings about cheating husbands. I had my producer pull this junk up. Junk. I got some junk for you. Okay, men are more likely than women to cheat. These are statistics. Gallup information. It's estimated that close to 50% of all men will cheat at some point in their lives. Kind of creepy, scary, but it's called testosterone. Husbands are also more likely to engage in online cheating. They use chat rooms, webcams, online services to arrange encounters. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Statistics show also the more money a husband makes, the more likely he is to be unfaithful. Yeah, yeah. Come on now. Tiger Woods. All the people who were exposed to media, politicians. Come on. You got to be kidding me. Just read the stuff. Yeah, the wealthy people, the wealthy celebrities, the wealthy businessmen. We're talking about men now. See, because money brings more opportunity and wealth tends to attract more women. Duh. It's always been like that. More statistics about cheating husbands. Reality. A lack of sexual excitement or the routine of having sex with the same person leads men to stray. It's just the way it is. It's called testosterone. Men are more likely to be drawn to the thrill of having sex with someone new. This is kind of interesting, though. Husbands are less likely than wives to consider leaving their spouse when they're having an affair. They're less likely. When women are having an affair, sometimes they consider more, whoa, I'm getting a thrill here. Women attach. That's why. Usually, generally speaking. And this is a no-brainer from the poll. Information about husbands who cheat. A cheating husband is more likely to have an affair with someone who's younger than his wife. No-brainer. When having a one-night stand, men are less choosy than women when it comes to selecting someone to have sex with. Well, the club is starting to close, and it's 2 minutes to two. And I've had a few too many, and my girl over there across the room that looked really bad to me 2 hours ago is looking pretty good. By the way, also statistically, husbands are more likely to feel that cheating is justified due to the lack of sex within a marriage because they don't want to talk. I need you. I want to be with you. I love you. They're just not going to say anything. They're just going to go out. Yeah. Unless you're Stephen, who wrote me earlier, who has been communicating with his wives. And husbands are much more likely than wives to be what we call serial cheaters. You do it once, you can do it again because it's easier. You can do it again because it's easier. Women tend to have more guilt. And that's the way it is. So I thought I'd fill you in on that. Just get more information about what your husband's doing. Just ask him kindly. Get more information. If he starts really withholding information, then you know something's up. That's it. Bottom line. Trying to hide something. Don't freak out. Be cool. Get information. Go to the office. Why don't you show up unexpectedly at the office a couple of times if you can? Look beautiful. Be sweet and kind. Hey, thought I'd take you out to lunch, hun. That's it. There you go. All right, this is Dr. Michelle with you, and you're on the couch with me still, as you always are at this time on LA Talk Radio. We're doing Free For All Friday, and I'm answering a lot of emails. With my raspy voice, got laryngitis a bit earlier in the week, and still kind of there. But I like the voice. My husband likes the voice. So here we go. I'm answering your emails, which were sent to me through the link here on LA Talk Radio, on my email address, docmichelle@aol.com. And, of course, you can link to my website as well. I'm going to take a swig of my water. Delicious. As we move on. All right. I love cough buttons. Cough buttons are the best invention. All right, dear doc. I know. We are on delay, too. Little delay and a cough button never hurt. All right. Dear doc, we have a problem. I've been dating this guy exclusively for about 6 months, and I really think he's wonderful. There's a big butt coming. I hear it. The problem is that while out with some friends after work, I've run into my ex-husband of 3 years at a nearby coffee shop. My ex and I don't have kids together, and we both decided to end the relationship about 2 years ago because we were too young, argued a lot, and both confessed we were not ready for marriage. The last couple of times I've seen him, we've had a great time talking all afternoon. And I can admit there was some flirting going on. I also admit that I remembered that attraction that I used to feel for him. But I know that I would never cheat on my boyfriend. Oh, no. Should I tell my boyfriend what happened? Let me think, darling. So you're at a coffee shop a couple of times with your friends, several times you go to this place. You run into your ex-husband, yeah, who you were married to for 3 years. You're still young, 28 years old, says here. Okay. And you've been dating this new guy for 6 months. You love him. But you started to feel this old attraction for your ex who you ran into, and a couple of times you saw him there, you spent all afternoon talking with him again. What's up with that, girl? Only you can know. But you want to know if you could tell your boyfriend what happened. But, okay, here's the deal. Everybody makes mistakes from time to time. It's just a coinky-dink that you ran into him, right? He just kind of in the neighborhood showed up a couple of times. All right, here's how you can decide whether you want to ask, or tell, rather, your boyfriend of 6 months. All right? Will he finally discover the truth? Is he eventually going to be overhearing a girlfriend of yours or a friend of yours, or is he going to show up in the neighborhood and see you sitting there if you see him again? If your partner's going to discover the truth, you have to be the one to tell him before anybody else. Because, I mean, if this is completely innocent, I hope it's innocent. You didn't tell me, but you say that you really think this guy is wonderful who you've been seeing for 6 months. But there's a little bit of a spark going on with your ex, sounds like. You're just kind of playing. So if you think he can find out and it might hurt this new guy, I would tell him you ran into your ex. I'm all for honesty. See, it's going to be a lot more difficult for you to regain his trust if somebody sees you or one of your girlfriends, who knows, somebody tells somebody, if you were in a group of people who all talk, you know, and he finds out that you were sitting for several hours twice with your ex and you don't mention anything. So how was your coffee with the girls? How's Katie? Oh, they're fine. And you don't say anything to him and he finds out that you've been hanging with your ex-husband. That will hurt. So telling the truth is really important, especially when the truth is going to be discovered. Now, you got to also ask yourself, are you dealing with a recurring problem? So when deciding if you should confess to something you may have done, it also helps to think about whether the issue is a recurring problem. Is this just a couple of times, Sarah? Is this a couple of times you've seen him and you don't plan on seeing him again? Are you liking seeing your ex-husband at this coffee shop, and you know he might be there, so you go with your girlfriends, and he just happens to show up? So if you're going to see him, you got to deal with this. You got to see if this is a recurring thing. And if you're liking hooking up to talk with him, that's it. You really got to be pretty honest to your man of 6 months, who you think is wonderful, because there's something going on with you, you know, that where you're wanting to kind of get with this man again. You've been there. You were married to him. You made a decision to divorce for a reason. You said you were too immature. You argued a lot. You know, you need to discover what's going on with you that may want to start up an old thing or reconnect with this guy that you had problems with, because probably You've grown up. He's grown up. But still, there's unresolved issues. And if you want to get back with your ex, or you're considering it, or maybe it's flattering to you. You know, think about that. You got to know what's going on with you. Also, if this is an old shoe that feels comfortable situation, get over it. Just get over it. Because you're going to make your man, who you think's wonderful of 6 months, feel sad. You're going to make him start feeling uncomfortable. If he finds out. And if you start telling him, you know, you just need to define whether this was a couple of times you saw him, it was a coincidence, it felt great, and you're done. Okay? You need to explain to this ex-husband of yours that you are with a man, unless you want to pursue this relationship again. Look at yourself. You know? Sometimes the truth is, you know, to allow you and your guy, your new guy of 6 months, to grow closer together. You know, if you tell him honestly, and this is completely innocent, that you did run into your ex a couple of times in the coffee shop, you had fun talking about old times, but you'd never consider getting back to him because that's why you divorced him. Lay it out straight. Tell him the truth. All right? I think that's a really good idea. All right, we're moving on. We got another email I want to answer because we're running out of time here, because this is a good one. And you're on with Dr. Michelle. You're on the couch, as you are every time this Friday, at latalkradio.com. And I'm answering emails. It's free for all Friday. Link on to my email address if you'd like from the webpage here on LA Talk Radio. It's docmichelle@aol.com. Here, dear Dr. Michelle, how do I rebuild trust with my girlfriend? I've told her little white lies about where I was when I was out with some guy friends, because I know she gets jealous when I'm hanging out with them, and I come home really late. I got caught lying about this stuff to her. I have never cheated on her with another woman, but she says she doesn't trust me. How do I build trust? All right. What you have to do is you got to rebuild this trust by being really honest and kind and loving and open up. Because if you're lying and she catches you, just like I talked to Sarah about with this ex-husband of hers, you're going to get busted. All right? So you want your woman to trust you. All right? What I would do is I would try to repair and rebuild and be vulnerable and directly acknowledge her feelings. And instead of, I don't know if you've defended, you know, going out when she confronts you. I know that you went out with the guys. You know, apologize. Say, I'm so sorry that I lied to you. But I feel, here comes the I statements. I am so sorry, but I feel like sometimes I need guy friends to hang with. It's healthy to have friends. I'm not out looking for women. I'm not out hustling. I'm out going to the sports places with the guys. We're out at the gym. We're out drinking a couple of beers. We're out talking about life. That's what guys do to bond. I love you. I would never cheat on you. What can I do to make you feel that I wouldn't cheat without maintaining my friendships? Without not maintaining my friendships. Does she have her friends? Hopefully she has girlfriends too. Compare that as well and say, you have friends. You enjoy them. I don't complain. I want you to go out and have a good time with your friends. I trust you. I don't think you're cheating on me. I will never cheat on you. But I need connection with guy friends. And then you work out a compromise. Tell her you're sorry. Listen to her feelings. Listen to what she says. Listen to why she's saying she doesn't trust you. Listen, don't defend yourself. You got busted. You lied to her. You went out. But you were with the guys. If you're truly interested in keeping the relationship, say you're sorry. Listen to her feelings. Work out a compromise. Would you mind if I made a date to go out with the guys on this night? A week or whatever. I will make sure I'm with you whenever you and I can be together. But I do need some downtime to bond with the guys. It's a guy thing. I need to sit around and have a couple of drinks or not, sodas, smoke some cigars, talk about life, finances, whatever you guys talk about. You know, your direct spatial statements about business and hot women, that's cool. It's all good. So just tell her you need to bond with your guy friends. You just you know, rebuild your trust. Show her that you're not going to lie her anymore. Make an agreement on when you're going to be together. He listened to her. Acknowledge that, you know, you're not going to do it again. You're not going to lie. And if she starts forbidding you from going out with the guys because she's paranoid, then you got to really address her trust issues. You got to look at what's going on with her that's making her not trust you, okay? All right, we're running. I hope I helped you. I really hope that I could help you. And, you know, give me a call here on the station if you'd like, 323-203-0815 if you'd like to talk more about it. Or what you can do is you can email me, hook up to the link here on the webpage on LA Talk Radio to docmichelle@aol.com, and I'll be happy to answer your questions. Any questions you may have about relationships or self-esteem or phobias, fears like we talked about today, trust issues, anything. docmichelle@aol.com. This is your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. And hopefully next week I won't have laryngitis. And we'll be talking to a special author. I'm going to tease you about it. It's about relationships. Learn how to get it together. Also, you can log on to my website if you'd like, drmichelletherapy.com. Have a wonderful day, and as I always say, take care of yourself first, because you can't help anybody else out if you don't, right? It's all about giving. All right, have a great day, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Got you on my mind again tonight.